Message from God's Word this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 31. Luke, chapter 1, verse 31. The angel is speaking to Mary, and he says, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." And then from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, beginning at verse 21, and we hear these wonderful words. The angel has transferred himself to Joseph and is giving him the good news. And to Joseph he said, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth the firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. And then again from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2 and verse 21, we hear the blessed Spirit of God speaking to us, chapter 2 and verse 21. Jesus is 8 days old, and they've taken him for his circumcision, which is where he would have been given his proper name. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And then I'd like to turn with me to Philippians. Thankfully, that was the last song you all just sang, was from Philippians. Chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. And this is 61 years later, after Christmas Day, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Philippian church about what has happened. And he's been talking about how Jesus came so lowly, meek, and mild, but he has been exalted from his lowly position. He begins in verse 9 saying, "Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and giving him a name that is above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Praise be unto God for the hearing and the reading of His Word." When there's a baby going to be born, and we have the option nowadays of knowing whether it's going to be a boy or a girl. Fern and I didn't know that. Our parents didn't know that. We decided, old women would decide how the woman was carrying the baby, whether it was going to be a boy or a girl. And there were all kinds of formulas for knowing, but we just didn't know. So you generally picked out names. All during the time of the pregnancy, you think about names. And then you suddenly get caught. You've got the idea you're going to have a boy, and suddenly you have a girl, and you have to have a name. It's amazing. It's almost a form of insanity sometimes when people get ready to name a baby. I can't imagine it. Fern was born just across the creek here in that house, and Dr. Williams named her. Polly and Earl was gone working, and Polly didn't know a girl's name and said they hadn't decided, so he named her after Sister Effie's favorite flower, which was a fern, and after his mother, whose name was Catherine, whom none of us knew, of course. But everybody got their name a different way. Some of you got your name from your grandpa or your aunt or your uncle. Some of us got our names from the Bible, and God forbid you go back in the Old Testament too far and read for baby names, no telling what you come up with. My grandfather's family were Dunkard brethren, and they read a lot of Old Testament scriptures, and Granddaddy had a brother born, and they looked in it, and they didn't pronounce it correctly in those days, but they came up with the name Mephibosheth, and we call it Mephibosheth nowadays. I have no clue how you get this little baby in your arms, and you love him, and you say, oh, ain't he cute, ain't he sweet? Let's name him Mephibosheth. I don't know. I don't know how you do that. I always thought my relatives over in Carroll County on the crest of the Blue Ridge were so isolated from civilization, the only entertainment they had was to take the Bible and what little bit of knowledge they had and figure out names. I had one cousin named Canary. I had another named California. And I've met some people named Missouri and people. I have no clue what they're thinking when they name babies. But anyway, it becomes important what a baby's name is, because he's going to have to carry that name all of his life, and it's going to define the person. Mother named me Edward so she could call me Eddie. It's probably been simpler to say Eddie Kendall and got it over with. But, you know, people have all kinds of reasons for naming babies names. Well, God is sending his son into the world to be born of a virgin. She lives in Nazareth, and she is of the tribe of Judah. And you have to wonder, well, if God is going to have a baby, what are we going to name that baby? Well, God takes the initiative, since he sent Jesus into the world. He takes the initiative and names his own son. And he sends no less than Gabriel, the angel that stands before the throne of God, down to Mary. And it must have been important to God what he named his son. Because before she ever conceives, Gabriel names this baby to Mary. And when Joseph is in doubt after she has conceived, the angel names this baby. And of course, when they take him up at 8 days old and circumcise him and give him his name, they name him the name that the angel has given him. Now, the angel did not invent this name. Gabriel did not sit around and say, oh, goody, God's going to let me name his baby. Let's see what I can name him. And he, you know what we do here? We buy a book of baby names. And we go through a book of names. We find out what they mean. No such thing. God Almighty, in sending the Lord Jesus Christ to the world, sent the name down to give him. And the angel came and said, his name will be Jesus. Now, that's not a name we name everybody in our society, although we have Jesus with us here. And if you're in Spain, that's Jesus. And that's wonderful. I mean, why wouldn't we name our babies after God? I knew of a man named in the Cass family named Jehovah. And Emmanuel used to be a very popular name in our church and in our society to name people. Lots of people were named Emmanuel. And that's one of the names that Jesus was called by prophetically, was Emmanuel. But God chose the name Jesus. Now you have to understand, folks, Jesus is a Greek word. And in our language, we have received the name as in its Greek form, and it's Jesus. But when the angel named him, if the angel had spoken to Mary in Hebrew, and I'm confident the angel did, she would have called him Yeshua. And if the English equivalent of that is Joshua. And Jesus is the Greek form that means Joshua or Yeshua. And you say, well, what does it mean? And the angel was very clear. You shall name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. This was the name chosen by God because it means Jehovah will save, or simply the Savior. Now, this name kept coming up, and in later years, the Apostle Paul declares by the Holy Ghost. You say, well, is this name important? This name is all important. In fact, is the Apostle Paul says that it's the only name whereby we must be saved. You can call the name Buddha, or you can call the name Muhammad, or you can call one of the other gods around the world, and your soul will be lost as sure as you're here this morning. But if you call on the name of Jesus, your soul can be saved, your life can be redeemed, and your name can be written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. But there's no other name that you can call on that will save your soul. In fact, his name is so important that the Apostle Paul advises the church, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do it all in his name. Now, that was so important to them. If you read the history and read the book of Acts and read a wonderful source on this, it's none other than the Roman Catholic Encyclopedia. It's wonderful to read the section on baptism. And they will attest to the same thing that I'm telling you, that all of the apostles and people for the first 300 years did all that they did in the name of Jesus, including baptism. He was the one who died for them. He was the one who rose again. He was the one who ascended to glory. He was the one who was making intercession for them. He was the one who was coming again. So when they baptized you, baptizing you in the likeness of his death, raising you in the likeness of his resurrection to walk in the life, they consistently used his name in baptism. And that was because they wanted to honor him. That was because they were acknowledging that only through Jesus Christ could salvation come. Jerry Falwell, when he was living, got in a heap of trouble one day because he said, God don't hear Jews' prayers. Now, that may not have been a good way for him to say it, but I know what he meant. Because you cannot gain access to God by praying just any old way. You must pray in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, in order to have access to God on the throne. Jesus said, if you ask in my name. So he has a great name. It's the name whereby you can be saved. It is the name whereby we do all that we do. And it is the name whereby we pray and be heard in heaven. And what Jerry was saying was simply that if Jews do not pray in the name of Jesus, they do not have access to the throne of God. Actually, the man was right, but the liberals and the naysayers in this day and time are ready to pick apart any saying like that. I have to tell you something, folks. There's no other way to God except through Jesus Christ. Jesus said it. You say it's narrow. My friend, the way is narrow, and the gate is straight. And I'll make no apology for saying that. You can't go through the gate of Buddha, or you can't go through the gate of Muhammad, or you can't go through the gate of good works, or you can't go through the gate of being honest and upright, or you can't go through the gate of any other organization. You must go through Jesus Christ. He is the only one who died. He is the only one who resurrected. He is the only one who has ascended into heaven. He is the only one that has access to the throne of God to make intercession for you. And he is the only one who is coming again to receive you unto himself. I can tell you, my friend, I'm not looking for Muhammad to come back and open the graves. I'm not looking for Buddha to come back and open the graves. I'm not looking for one of the Hindu gods or one of the African gods to come back and opened the graves. But I am looking for Jesus Christ to appear in clouds with power and great glory and open the graves and set the captives free and carry us home to glory with him. Hallelujah. Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus was born, talked about him coming. And he said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and of his kingdom and his peace there shall be no end." And you know what he said? And said, "And his name is Wonderful." Oh, my friend, when I hear that, I have to hear Vestal Goodman singing, "What a lovely name, the name of Jesus." I have to hear the Gaithers singing, "There's just something about that name." And in my heart, I hear old brother James Cecil over at Snowville. He used to have a good whack on a tambourine. And he would stand beside that piano and with his hand open wide like this and beat that tambourine. And he would sing, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know, fills my every longing and keeps me singing as I go." My friend, his name is Wonderful. How many times I've walked away from a graveside and hear under the breath of the mourners somebody saying, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." How many times at the bedside where someone was terribly ill have I heard that precious name? How many times standing with a dying patient I have heard that name come off of their lips as they reached out to the only one who could transcend life and death, to the only one who could live in both worlds. His name is Wonderful. Yes, Brother Cecil, it's the sweetest name I know. Yes, Vestal, it is the lovely name of Jesus. Yes, Bill and Gloria Gaither, there is just something about that name. But his name is not just Wonderful. His name is Counselor. The smartest thing you ever did and the best advice you ever took is when you call the name of Jesus. When you call the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, when you call the name of Jesus to lift you up. Oh, my friend, his name is Wonderful, Isaiah said. His name is Counselor. But his name is the mighty God. Emmanuel, the angel said. The prophet had prophesied. Emmanuel, he is God with us. My friend, when that man stood out on the bow of that ship and raised his hand to heaven and said, "Peace to the wind," and it was laid. "And be still to the waves," and they laid still. My friend, that was the Creator God standing on that on the bow of that ship that day, commanding the forces of the universe at his command. I can tell you, my friend, when he walked that night in that stormy sea another time, and they looked out through the darkness and they said, "What is it? What is it?" And they looked and said, "It's him, it's him. He's walking on the sea." My friend, oh brother Virgil Vaughton, Sister Inez over at Pembroke used to sing a song, "Walking the Sea, Walking the Sea." Oh, my friend, I can tell you, when Jesus Christ stepped his feet out on the Sea of Galilee and walked on top of the water, I can tell you, my friend, he was the mighty God. Human beings don't do that. When he commanded the wind and the waves, he was the mighty God. When he stood at Lazarus's grave and called him forth from death after 4 days of being enclosed in the tomb, and he rose and walked away, he was the mighty God. I can tell you, my friend, when he stopped the funeral procession at the city of Nain and spoke to the widow's son and he got up and walked away from his own coffin, my friend, I can tell you he was the mighty God. When he went into Jairus's house and he walked into that room and the little girl had been dead for some time and he called her name and she stood up and she walked away, he was the mighty God. I can tell you when he pointed his finger at a legion of demons at a man in Gadara and commanded them to come out, he was the mighty God. You see, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ was human as I'm human, but I can tell you he was also God as much as the Almighty could ever be God. He was God. And when you looked at him, my friend, you saw the mighty God in action. In fact, as he not only said he was wonderful counselor and mighty God, but he said he is the everlasting Father. Philip had been walking with Jesus for 3 years, and he'd been listening all this time to Jesus as Jesus talked and talked about the Father and his relationship with his Father and his prayers with his Father. And finally, Philip says, if you will just show us the Father, we'll be satisfied. And Jesus looked at him and said, have I been here with you all this time and you don't know me? Philip, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Oh, my friend, when they talked to him about Abraham, he looked at him and he said, before Abraham was, I am. My friend, he said, and I am not the God of the dead, but I am the God of the living. He is Abraham and Isaac and Jacob's God right now. You see, his name, Jesus, embodies the word Jehovah, and it means Jehovah will save. And within Jesus Christ, there is the Jehovah God of the Old Testament. Paul, in many later years, spoke of the time that Moses and the people went through the wilderness, and he said that rock went with them, and that rock was Christ. Christ was in the Shekinah fire that lit the camp at night and in the cloud that lit the camp at day. And Christ was with them. And then he said, not only is he the wonderful, his name is not only wonderful and counselor and mighty God and everlasting Father, but his name is Prince of Peace. Oh, my friend, I'm sorry for the peace that the world gives. Jesus said, I give you peace. Last thing he said to his disciples when he left the upper room, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, but not the peace that the world gives, give I unto thee. We say, who would want peace like North and South Korea has? Armed to the teeth and standing in skirmishes from day to day and killing people and saying we're at peace. Oh, my friend, the peace that the world gives is an armed standoff. But the peace that Christ gives is the peace that comes into your heart and brings peace between you and God, and your sin debt has been paid, and your name has been cleared before the councils of heaven, and your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you are at peace with your God. You are at peace with your fellow man. You are at peace with yourself because you know your sins are forgiven and your name has been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then he says, not only is his name wonderful, not only is he counselor, not only is he mighty God and everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace, but I never can read this, you Lawson girls over here, that I don't think of Sister Hazel singing. The song that I remember her singing when I was younger was King Jesus will roll all burdens away. And oh, my friend, when he gets there, it says he has a kingdom. And this wonderful man with this wonderful name has a kingdom that will grow for eternity and will never cease to be and will never stop to be. This kingdom will be there. King Jesus. Oh, some people's religion have him in a manger all the time, and always you see him In the Madonna's hands, he's a little baby. Or always you see him dead on a cross. My friend, I come to tell you today that Jesus Christ is not a baby in a manger. And Jesus Christ is not a dead man on a cross. But Jesus Christ, my friend, is the living King of glory who stands at the throne of God in heaven and who controls the universe and who is coming back again. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is majesty personified. He is power and glory and honor and all that you can ascribe to him. My friend, he is. He has all power in heaven and earth. He says so himself. My friend, I ask you today, his name is wonderful. You may call him Yeshua. You may call him Joshua. We may call him Jesus. But my friend, he is Jesus. You have to realize, in that day and time, that was not an unusual name. There were lots of people that had that name in Israel, but there was only one Jesus who was the Christ. There was only one Jesus who was the Christ, the anointed, the Messiah. There was only one Jesus who was the Lord Jesus Christ. He was Lord of heaven and Lord of earth, Lord of nature and Lord of spirits and Lord of all that there is. He was the Messiah that was to come, which made him Christ. But he is Jesus, the man who hung on the cross and died for our sins. Do you know him this morning? You've seen him in the manger and you've seen him on the cross. But I can tell you this morning, my friend, he lives in people's hearts by way of the Holy Spirit. And he lives in heaven at the throne of the majesty on high. And his glorious word is made manifest unto us in our time. All that glorious music the choir was singing this morning, all of that wonderful theology, did you listen to those hymns they were singing? Man, their gospel was in those hymns. The theology was perfect. I was delighted to hear them singing, "Joyful, joyful, we adore thee." I was so happy to hear them singing about joy to the world. The Lord is come. Will you stand now and sing with them? It's a common old hymn, but I can tell you this morning, my friend, on this Sunday before Christmas, you ought to sing it with more power and more adoration than ever before. Glory to his name. And as we sing, if you want to pray, there are prayer benches on either side, and I will be at the communion table, and this congregation will pray with you. And if you have a need that you want prayed about, we will pray. But let's sing glory to his name. Now I have to tell you something. The last song the choir sang just before I preached, and the first song they sang after I preached, perfectly matched the message. But none of these people knew what I was going to preach, because I actually forgot to put the scriptures and the title on the prayer sheet. So nobody knew but me and the Lord and the Holy Ghost. And thank God you all listened to him. And thank God today when we go forward glorifying the wonderful name of Jesus Christ our Lord. I'd love to have you come back in the evening service. I want you to come back on Wednesday. I want you to come back next Sunday. But I want you more than anything else to let Jesus Christ be Lord to the glory of God our Father in your life. Father, may the benediction of your Spirit, the power of your grace, and the love of the Almighty God go with us and keep us today and every day through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.